Every day I'm shuffling.
Broadcasting from atop the Hensler Financial Building in the heart of Georgia's financial district, Kennesaw, Georgia. Ted Parrish. Bill Lako. Shuffling. This is Money Talks.
Hey, no mention of Mark Bendinelli or Gene Hensler there. I'm a little upset.
I'm surprised they don't have you on there. I'm sorry, guys. I'm filling in for Ted today.
Ted is up in the Big Apple. All right. We have some questions, Bill and Mark. We've got Reagan from Atlanta. What do you think of Sector Mutual Funds? I've been looking at the Highland Long Short Healthcare Z. That's not a your normal sector fund, is it, Mark?
No, it's not. It's a long short fund, so it buys the attractive stocks, and then it shorts, which is borrowing shares from other people, and sells those stocks for the healthcare stocks they find unattractive. And we definitely don't recommend shorting stocks right now, because throughout history, most of the time, stocks go up.
That's right.
And if you short, the best you're going to get is 100%, and that's if the price falls to zero. The worst you're going to do is unlimited. Say you shorted Microsoft back in the day or Apple back in 1996. You'd be – I can't even imagine how underwater you'd be with this. And it's also pretty expensive to short shares.
What's been the return on this stock? You have any idea?
It's very volatile. I was looking at it in the last 5 years – twice it underperformed its sector by 30%.
Oh my gosh.
In single years. The other 3 years, it pretty much matched the market.
Well, that's not very good.
No,
So when the market goes up, it matches the market. When the market goes down, it goes down.
It gets just destroyed. It has an expense ratio of 3%.
Reagan, that's a dog.
Yeah, do not touch it. If you want to look for something else, maybe the iShares Dow Jones Healthcare Sector ETF, right. It has an expense ratio that's about 0.5% versus the 3% you'd be paying for this Highland fund. So just
and
don't
it doesn't
touch
have
it.
any speculation in a sense. It's pure investment play.
Exactly.
Makes sense to me whatsoever. Glenn Agnew from Redan. R-E-D-A-N. Is that how it's pronounced?
I think it's Redan.
Redan?
That's around your parts of there, Bill, right?
Yeah, Redan.
Redan, where's that?
Stone Mountain.
Stone Mountain, okay. With the markets we've seen in the past 20 years, what return should we expect in a 6 to 10 year period?
8%. 8% a year.
Where's the crystal ball?
Exactly.
Historically, the return's around 10%. And that takes into account dividends and increase in value. So, and if we go back all the way to the Stone Age, 1926 or something, it's average in excess of 10%.
Yeah, I believe it's 11.
Yeah.
So, it's the eight ball says it is certain it's going to do that.
But we went 10 years with it doing nothing.
Yeah. 10 years, yeah. It was a very volatile time. We saw the tech crash. We saw the housing bubble.
And what happens is what will really screw you up on this sort of stuff is that's just what the market does. That just assumes you put all your money in on that day and you held it till this day. If your dollar cost average into the market over that period of time, you'd have done far better than that.
Absolutely.
Because when the market was up, you'd buy less shares. When the market's down, you buy more shares. I mean, it's magic how this works. You always do better than the market. I just tell people that. If you just put money in your 401k every year, take 10% of your money, if you can do that, if you can maximize your 401k, put that money in every year, you will beat the market because you're not trying to time it. And if you're putting away, let's just make a number up, $7,000 a year, when you got $7,000 and the market's at $1,000, you're buying a lot more shares than you are when the market's at 2,000. So that's just what it boils down to. And if you're doing it every month, like most people do in a 401k, you're even taking more advantage of that because even during the year, you'll generally do better. The only time you'll do worse in dollar cost averaging is if when you start, it's a market high and it just keeps going straight up.
Yep, exactly, because you should have just bought all when you could.
That's right.
Because markets do that, don't they?
Oh, yeah, forever. I listen to these heads on radio, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, people actually believe that guy? We're not talking about stupid returns of 30% a month. We're talking about returns of only 6% a month.
3 to 6.
Bernie Madoff only guaranteed about 1.5% a month.
That's right. These are 3 to 6%. 3% compound over years, over 40% return. Yeah, that's, well, guarantee that. We just told you what the numbers are. between 8 and 10%. All right. Mark, I think this is for you. What do you think of an investment in H&R Block?
H&R Block. Oh, gosh. Last Wednesday, they had pretty good numbers. I think their earnings were up about 35%. Revenue's up 15%. They've made some good moves recently. They're closing some of their offices, and they're moving more towards an online presence. Basically, what happens is if the economy is hurting, people will probably stop visiting their tax professionals so often, and they'll try to do their own returns, which the online will help them a little bit. And basically, going forward, they may be one of the only companies that benefits from Obamacare, because more people are going to have to sign up for health insurance and receive a federal tax credit and may need a little more advice, because it's going to pretty much convolute the entire tax code. So you're going to have more people needing advice.
Yeah, you see that they will rent an office for a year and only use it for 4 months of the year.
Oh, yeah. If you look at their numbers, they post losses in three out of every four quarters. It's just the first quarter that they do well, because that's tax season.
And there's somebody else who came in competition with them. When I was down in Florida, they were
Liberty
like mushrooms.
Tax. Liberty Tax.
Liberty Tax?
Yeah.
They opened up like mushrooms. Like, you know, the same kind of concept, you know. Uh-huh. So they do have some competition. Another question down here was, what is a closed-end fund, and how is it different from a mutual fund? That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, a closed-end fund is actually a mutual fund. It just it raises a fixed amount of capital, and it trades more like a stock on an exchange. Most funds that you're going to see, like in a 401k plan, are open-ended funds, meaning you buy shares or you try to buy shares of the fund will actually create shares by buying more stocks of what they own.
In the mutual fund, the share of the stock always sells for the net asset value. That's, they take all the shares that they own, market times the market value, divide by the number of shares, and you're going to get that price.
Yep.
But because in a closed-end fund, they issued a bunch of shares, those shares trade independently of the net asset value.
Yeah, so you'll see a premium or a discount
sometimes. So you could buy you might be able to buy a closed-end fund that invests in bonds that's selling at a discount. And that means is that maybe you can buy it for $90 and the net asset value is $100. You've actually got $100 earning interest, and you're only paying investing $90 for it. Sometimes that can be a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with a closed-end fund, though, Mark, is a lot of times they use leverage, too, don't they?
Sometimes. And even the open-end funds use leverage, too. And sometimes people are confused a closed fund with a closed-end
fund.
A closed fund generally closes because it's done so well, because so many assets have been attracted into the fund.
Yeah, they say, we're not going to offer any more shares.
Exactly, because you can't really, I guess, utilize your strategy. So if you're doing a small-cap fund and you have $100 billion in assets in a small-cap fund, most of those companies that you're investing in are only worth $1 billion.
Right.
So if you make a 1% move, you're actually buying the entire company. So
right.
You're obviously going to move the market. That's going to negatively impact your performance.
Right.
So that's why a fund will be closed.
There's nothing wrong with closed-end funds, but there's more intricacy in them. You have to do more research on a closed-end fund, and there isn't as much information about closed-end funds as there is about open-end mutual funds.
Yeah, and there's a lot fewer of them. There's probably a couple thousand of them, and in total, every single share class, there's like a lot of funds, and open-end funds have 5-6 share classes, but total there's about 30,000 different funds, including all those share classes. So you have a lot more options when it comes to open-end funds.
Yeah. Be careful if you move into that. We only got a minute and 30 seconds. Let me see if I can get a quick one in here. Mark, Merrill Lee from Riverdale, I have a little in Fresh Del Monte and Sanderson Farms, Inc. I'd like to drop one of them. Do you have a preference?
Well, with these two companies, you're talking about food production. With Fresh Del Monte, you're talking about fruits and veggies, so produce. With Sanderson, you're talking about the chicken business.
Okay.
So right off the bat, I would probably prefer Del Monte to Sanderson, because other than seeding, watering, and controlling for pests, that's all you have to feed plants. When you're talking about chickens, you're going to have to talk about feed costs and housing those chickens. So you're going to have to deal with a lot more variables when you're looking at a chicken producer. So, and that's actually weighed on Sanderson's profitability. Some years, They have decent margins, 10%, which is pretty good for a producer.
You think it was weather related?
It probably is.
Absolutely. That's kind of what hurt Fresh Del Monte's results recently.
I'm just asking.
What do you mean? You mean not enough rain in Hawaii, so the pineapple crop didn't come in as well as expected?
Either way, you're going to get a lot more consistent performance out of Fresh Del Monte than you're going to get out of Sanderson. Sanderson's lost money three times over the last 7 years.
Well, at least with chickens, you got a short life cycle. It's not like raising a steer.
True.
We'll take a short break. Come back. We'll talk about the corn hog cycles shortly.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.